Hi, y'all. You're listening to Ordinary People, Ordinary Things with me, your host, Melissa Radke, the ordinariest of us all. This week, you will have the opportunity to go see Breakthrough, the real life, true story of John Smith, who fell into a frozen lake and was submerged for 15 minutes. After countless tries at starting his heart, John died on the table at the hospital, but then his mom walked into the room. Leave it to a mama. Am I right? Everything changed after she walked in. The truth is, though, and the part I loved about this movie was that Joyce was just like me and you. She didn't go in that room guns blazing. She didn't walk in having just witnessed Christ's resurrection and therefore filled with some kind of supernatural faith. She just walked in like most of us do. On our worst days, broken, hurting, praying, hoping. I was absolutely floored when I found out I would get the chance to speak with a couple of people who are pretty important to this story, both the real life story and the movie story. Now, as y'all know, I'm waiting on my big debut into feature film. I mean, granted, no one knows me, and I am, and I say this with complete humility and objectivity, a terrible actress, but I can talk. And to get to talk with Devon Franklin, who has produced such movies as Miracles from Heaven, Heaven is for Real, and now Breakthrough. And to talk with Pastor Jason Noble, who is the real life pastor of John Smith and the whole Smith family, and who is now also my BFF. Well, it just got me all kinds of excited. So forgive me for speaking over them and making weird jokes and just being my very own awkward self. But I am honored today to not only introduce these people to you, but to ask that you go see Breakthrough. That you take another family to go see it with you, and that you give your money to the kind of entertainment that challenges our spirit, lifts our hearts, and that our kids don't have to step out of the room. So please welcome Devon Franklin. I am so glad that you're here today, and I'm just grinning from ear to ear because I have listened to podcast interviews and sermons that you've done or where you've been interviewed by, I think it was Bishop Jakes one time. I've just been a big fan for a while. So I'm grinning from ear to ear that you're here today.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. Truly awesome.
Oh, thank you. Well, I do want to ask this, and you can be totally honest. Are you not exhausted? I mean, you got to be exhausted.
Oh, man. You know, I don't even know. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things. It's like I'm beyond exhaustion. I don't even know where I am. You know, when you're committed and passionate about something, especially like Breakthrough, you just got to go and do everything that's required to do.
Well, I know, but I feel like it would serve you well if I was just honest with you and told you that it's Tuesday, because I'm not sure you even know that. Did you even know today is Tuesday?
Nope. If you hadn't told me, you know, I'd have wondered. I'd be like, wait a minute, what is today? Monday, Wednesday?
Well, we are glad that you're here. Now, I will tell you, I got to see the movie before it was released. They wanted me to watch it. And I was like, wait, y'all want me to watch a movie before it comes out in the theaters and then gloat about it to all my friends? Okay, I guess I will. And so I watched it and it's beautiful and it's powerful. And I will just tell you that as a person of faith and as a woman of faith, I'm so proud. And I just thank you so much that I climbed up on my sofa in my living room with my children and my pastor. He watched it with us too. And that I didn't have to ask my kids to leave the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, thank you.
Wow. Yeah, I do know what you're saying. Of course. No, I'm so glad to hear you say that. And that's one of the reasons why I do what I do is to, you know, make sure that their families can watch all this together.
And here's what I feel like is praise indeed for the movie. And that is that long after the movie was over and long after we said goodnight to our pastor and his wife and we hugged their kids and everybody went their separate ways, we had a full day of school. We got back into the routine. But periodically, questions would come up from my children about the movie. Like, it made them think.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. It
like
is.
What kind of questions?
Mom, what did the notes on his locker mean? That was a question for them. For our listeners, this is a story of a miracle that happened to John Smith. But he goes back to school and there's this moment, right, when he looks at his locker and there's these post-it notes. And kids have posted things all over his locker. And what we're coming to find out is that John feels a lot of responsibility, right, for this miracle that's happened to him. And how come it happened to him and not me? Did I explain that right to my kids in that moment?
Yeah, I think you did. I think you absolutely did. I'm just kind of blown away to see what kids respond to and what sticks with them. That's fascinating to me. I love that.
Oh, good. Well, they questioned that. Why did the teacher stop him to tell him about her husband? And I said, so kids, this is what happens when a miracle happens in someone's life, but a miracle doesn't happen in everyone's life. People want to know why him and not me, right? And so I talked to them about their dad and I. We had a son who passed away. And I said, so we prayed for a miracle in Elisha's life. And that didn't happen. But it does not stop us from believing for the next thing, believing that God is faithful. Everybody just has a story. So I got to talk to them about that. And that's because of this movie.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, it's like, it's interesting to have made the film because one of the things that I was curious about is the very thing you're hitting on, which is, you know, because John is a teenager, how is this going to affect the youth? And I love the idea that, you know, your kids are maybe even a litmus test for how engaging this film is with youth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to share that with you. I've never thought I would get the opportunity to share that. I do want to know, though, not as a producer of this film, but as a pastor. I know you have to sometimes probably take off different hats. So take off your producer hat for a moment, put on your pastor hat. What do you tell somebody who goes to see this movie and maybe that this isn't their story? Their breakthrough hasn't happened. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say that that's actually not true. I think that everyone, you know, the fact that we woke up is a breakthrough. There are so many breakthroughs, I think, that we have on a day-to-day basis that sometimes we're looking for kind of, you know, the big quote-unquote breakthrough that we overlook the smaller breakthroughs every day. I would say for those that sometimes may not get their prayers answered, you know, there are many situations where I haven't gotten my prayer answered. It doesn't take away from, you know, who God is, how powerful he is, the idea that he still is a loving God. And so I think in those moments when people are trying to grapple with why God does certain things and seemingly not others, it requires sympathy, it requires empathy, and it requires understanding. You know, it really, really requires understanding because it's a very sensitive thing. But I would encourage anyone who thinks they haven't had a breakthrough to just look around them. And I think they're going to see breakthroughs happening in their life right now.
I love that. What does a breakthrough mean to you in your life? It doesn't always mean this big, huge, great, big thing.
Yeah, breakthrough means the moving of an obstacle and progress resumes in our life. So that's what breakthrough means, that if there's an area where progress seems to have stopped, the obstacle that is standing in the way of the progress gets removed. And in the case of the movie Breakthrough, it was the obstacle of death that ultimately got removed.
It's when progress resumes. I love that. When we are continually putting one foot in front of the other, I just love that. That's so great. Thank you. This is actually the third movie you've done, and maybe not the third movie you've done at all, but based off of true events, because Heaven is for Real, based off of true events, Miracles from Heaven, and now this one. Is there another one that I'm forgetting about?
No, it was Heaven is Real as an executive, and then I did Miracles from Heaven and now Breakthrough. I mean, I did The Star, but in terms of the Miracle trilogy, those would be the three.
Well, so I'm wondering, Devon, are you drawn to true stories or miraculous stories or faith stories? What is it about the? I mean, these all are so similar. And then it's just intriguing to me why these things. What are you drawn to, the true story or the miraculous?
Both. I mean, these are stories truly that have all found me. I didn't go looking for them. You know, when I was an executive for Sony, the book Heaven is for Real was submitted by producer Joe Roth. Read that, made that film. And then when I left Sony to start my own company, you know, I was looking to make a movie. And then I got submitted the book proposal for Miracles from Heaven. And then while I was on the promotional trail for Miracles from Heaven, I ran into Joy Smith, John Smith, and Pastor Jason Noble and heard them tell their story firsthand. And when I heard it, I knew I had to tell it. So it's almost like these stories have chosen me. And I'm very committed to using entertainment to inspire, to motivate, to uplift people. And it's fantastic to be able to find these miraculous true stories that can do that.
I love that. Okay. And I'm just going to be totally honest with you because our listeners know I am really blunt and I'm not going to lie. Now, with a face like yours, you could be doing anything in Hollywood, Devon. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that.
I'm very kind of
okay.
you.
So why faith films? I hope this doesn't sound like a negative because I'm truly interested in this, but why faith films? I wonder if it's like pushing a boulder up a hill when it comes to Hollywood. Do you find that?
You know what? Here's the interesting thing. It's not pushing a boulder up a hill. What is honestly the hardest thing to do is to market and publicize the film. So making the films, Hollywood has actually been very receptive. And, you know, when I go back to my career as an executive, I mean, all the way back to, you know, since 2011, you know, I've pretty much made, you know, I would say what you're saying is a faith film almost every year. And so Hollywood has been very, very open. The issue sometimes is the public and getting the movie-going public that will go and support, you know, the Marvel films or the animated films to go and support these films. So it's really harder to get the audience out, more so than it is hard to convince Hollywood to make the films.
Do you have a reason as to why you think that is?
You know, I think a lot of times it really comes down sometimes to even the label faith film, because even people within the faith-based segment, you know, sometimes don't want their entertainment to be labeled that way. You know, it's like when The Blind Side came out, nobody called that a faith movie. They just said, oh, it's Sandra Bullock and a true story. And as a result, you're able to bring people in who, you know, appreciated the movie. And along the way, they got faith. With Breakthrough, this is really an inspirational true story, more so than it is a movie that fits a genre. This actually happened. So I think one of the big things is, you know, really changing what people's perception are of these type of films so that the stigma and the resistance goes down and they view these films as great entertainment.
Okay, so as me, I'm in East Texas. I'm a mom of two. I like to take my kids to the movies sometime. And it's funny that you mentioned The Blind Side, one of my all-time favorite movies, as an executive and a producer. What do you want us to do to kind of change that stigma? Like, should I not have even referred to it as a faith film, but just rather it's the breakthrough movie? Like, do we want to remove that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it is an inspirational true story. I think that's a fantastic way to characterize it, without a doubt. I think that's exactly what it is. And so, you know, I think that there are certain films that are made specifically for the genre, you know, which are, you know, stories that are fiction, that are created specifically to get across the message of faith. And there's nothing wrong with that. With a movie like this, though, it's like, hey, wait, this is a true story. This isn't a true story that's contorted to get across the message. We just told the story and the message is already in the story.
Absolutely. And how beautiful. My favorite week of the entire year is this week of resurrection, the Holy Week.
Yes.
Watching this movie with my family and all of us sitting around in a room. Come on. I mean, seeing beauty from ashes and resurrection life. I mean, the power is there, but you're right. Like, we don't have to label it this. This story is good, whether it's Christian or it's not, whether it's faith or it's not. But I know that we have a lot of listeners today who we want more of these. So how can we change that verbiage? So I'm glad to hear you say that. That's really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know if you are open to a critical note. I'm going to give you a critical note and I need to know if you're open to it. Are you ready?
Is it on the movie?
It is. Yes. But trust me, I'm not a super critical person, so you don't really have to worry very much. But
oh, I was saying, if it's on the movie, there's nothing I can do about that. So I don't know if I want a critical note on the movie. If it's a critical note that I could do something about in the future, I'll take it.
Oh, no, I'm telling you, it is on the movie. But let me tell you what it is. Trust me, don't be scared. There is a scene in the movie where before they head off to school, they have prayer around the table. And I'm just telling you, that don't happen in my house. Now, you put that in the movie, and I need you to know, I'm not entirely sure. She prayed over her child. So this is wonderful for the world to see, but this is why you'll never probably film the Radkeys, because we just scream at each other in the morning, and y'all don't. Like, at no point was she like, if you don't get out to that car, I'm going to beat you. They held hands, and they were praying around the table, and my kids looked at me and said, see? This is what other people do in the mornings. So I'm like, shut up and just keep watching the movie. So there's my big critical note for you right there. I don't think that's too heavy at all.
No, I can take that. I love that.
I knew you could. But yeah, so my children are aspiring for that kind of morning. I'm going to end our time together with three questions. We end all of our podcasts with these. They are not difficult. You'll be able to think of them. My first question is, who do you love? I always tell people, you know, don't say your immediate family. Don't say your wife. We know you love her. That's a given. But we've had everything from a certain celebrity to a ball team. But who do you love?
I love my movie. How about that?
I love it. And you probably love the people that were in your movie and working with them.
I sure do. I love each and every single one of them. It was truly a joy to make this movie with them and, you know, our director and Roxanne, our actor, you know, actress Chrissy Metz and everyone else in the cast. Truly a joy and love them dearly.
Oh, that's so great. What are you binging on right now? As if you have any time. But just so you know, this can be food or TV or a book. What are you binging on?
You know, I mean, really not much because I've been so busy between my book and movie that I have. But I would say maybe I still try to get in the Warriors games. Now that they're in the playoffs, I do watch the Warriors. So that is definitely something that I'm in.
Okay. All right. The Warriors, I guess I don't really know anything about them. I'm just kidding. I'm Steph Curry. Literally, my husband's across the room and his eyes just got as big as saucers. He's like mouthing Steph Curry to me across the room. But I have a husband and a son. I know who Steph Curry is. So yes,
good.
Binging on the Warriors, that will do. We're binging on the Rockets. So that's a little awkward, but okay, whatever, Devon. And then our last question, just fill it in. It's super fun. It just shows us a little side of you. I don't understand why blank. And this has been everything from, I don't understand why people like cats. They're demonic too. You know, what's something for you? I don't understand why blank.
Wow.
I know. Hardest interview you've ever had, right?
Oh, man. I don't understand why the Warriors lost last night. That's truly what I don't understand. It didn't make any sense.
It didn't make any sense to you. Well, it probably didn't make any sense to them either. No. So you're probably not alone. But listen, I applaud you for all that you do. You are a bright spot in my day and in all of our listeners' day. Thank you for what you do. We love you so much and we appreciate you. And now we're going to all go buy your book, The Truth About Men, because
Thank you.
Don't understand them. And you could come back for a 6-part series on that, and I still wouldn't understand them.
I can help.
Go get Devon Franklin's book, The Truth About Men. You're really, really wisdom in our generation, and we so appreciate it. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate you helping me get the word out.
Please welcome Pastor Jason Noble. I am so happy to have you here. I don't know why, but you just kind of have the personality that I feel like I know you. Do you think maybe like,
we might, you never know.
We might. I don't know if you still are, but you're an Assembly of God pastor, I believe, or were at one time, right?
Still am. Yep.
Born and raised, baby, in the Assemblies of God, born and raised. So how do we know that we never like passed each other like some fine arts or something?
I know. General counsel, you never know, right?
I know.
I mean, that's true. I was the National Children's Ministry Director, so maybe that's where you know me from.
Maybe. Maybe when we were like 17, we were on an elevator together at General Counsel. You looked across the elevator, fell in love with me for a minute, but then I got off the elevator. You don't know. That might have happened.
You never know.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got the opportunity to watch the Breakthrough movie a couple of days ago with my family, sat down with my family, not only my family, but some friends and our pastor and his family. And we all watched it together, had such a great time. We're so, so very happy for you and for the whole family, the Smith family and everyone involved. But I do have to ask, are you tired, man?
You know, I'm actually pretty good. I've got, you know, 6 shots of Starbucks a day, and that just takes care of it. So, you know, keeps me rocking and rolling. And we've been built to this moment for the last year, and it's just exciting.
I was afraid you were going to say, you know, I'm being sponsored by 5-Hour Energy, so I've got all of that shot in my veins.
But I don't do those. That's why I draw the line.
Exactly. Okay, so at one time or another, growing up, certainly, surely in your adult life, you have sat around with some friends and played the game or answered the question, who would play you in a movie about your life? At some point, you have had to have discussed that long before you ever knew this movie would even be a thing. And I'm just curious if when you were playing it with your friends and your wife, did you say Topher Grace?
I didn't. That one, I was thinking more like Matt Damon.
That's a good one.
I love Topher. We've gotten to be good friends, and he is just such a great guy.
I personally, I don't know that Matt Damon could have pulled off your charm, but I'm telling you, Topher Grace did an incredible job. You know what? I liked him. And so I guess I kind of felt like he displayed you really well because I felt excited to talk to you today because he did such a good job. I mean, he shows a side of you that is both endearing and off-putting at the exact same time, like any good pastor. Endearing and off-putting.
Right. I don't know about the off-putting, but I'll take the endearing for sure.
I'm only saying that because my pastor is for sure going to listen to this interview and he knows he's off-putting. So I just felt it was fair to say. I think y'all are wonderful.
That's great.
I'll tell you, Matt Damon is a good fit for you. Absolutely. Also, you know who else? Jesse Plemons. Do you know who Jesse Plemons is?
No, I have to look him up. I don't know. What has he played in?
You need to look up Jesse Plemons. So he's played a lot of like kind of character parts. He was on a big, huge episode of the Black Mirror that came out not too long ago. And he played like the commander of this Star Trek kind of thing. And he's been on Breaking Bad, but you got to look him up. I'm just saying, if you have Breakthrough 2.
Well, I wouldn't mind Breakthrough 2, but hopefully we don't have to have a situation that brings us to that.
Oh my goodness.
We told John no repeat.
That is exactly right. That's exactly right. Before we get into some more serious questions, I do have a couple of things to ask. First of all, Sweet Joyce Smith, real life Miss Joyce, Pastor Noble, did she really loathe you as much as maybe she kind of did at the beginning of this movie? Did she just want to kill you, really?
No, no. In fact, we've actually never had an argument. And so what they did in that is we were having that kind of tension in our church. I was a brand new pastor. I'd been there 3 months. I was 38 years old, came into a 90-year-old AG church and turned it upside down. And so they kind of showed all of that tension through Joyce, but we've never had a coarse word in our family. You know, it does add some interesting drama. And the one thing I'll tell you too, and I tell people this all the time, I would never be so crazy to walk into a women's ministry room and rip the calendar off the wall. Like that would just be certain death. So got to keep the ladies happy.
That's right. You know, for people who haven't seen the movie, that is the first time that you'll see Joyce and Pastor Jason together. And he rips off the reserve sheet for the room that the women are meeting in. And when you did that,
right,
I remember my pastor sitting beside me and he was like, no, 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 no. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Right. Well, Pim and Ease, I never did. So
that is I'm so glad to hear that. But they did make reference later in the movie. And so I'm asking if this is true as well. Did she write a letter about the worship team? Because that happens in the churches, you know.
She did not, but we got many. So, you know, again, that kind of came through as a composite character. And our screenwriter, Grant Neoporte, was going through a situation in his church very similar, young new pastor. And so he saw everything through that eyes, too, of what his pastor was going through.
Well, I have to tell you, even if she didn't do that, I'm so glad they left that in there because there are people like that in the church. And these young, up and coming, really charismatic pastors, they do have to deal with that. So poor Joyce, she's probably like, what the heck? I never wrote that letter, but it really is so true to life, you know? So I'm really glad they left that in. And my pastor got the biggest kick out of it. He started screaming at the TV, that happens, that happens.
I know. You know, when Grant was writing it and my heart behind it, was something that pastors can identify with also. You know, so that's kind of that sub part of the story is that it's really a love letter to pastors that said, hey, you know what, keep going, keep doing what you do. You're doing a great job no matter what kind of headwinds you're facing. You know, God will show up and he'll do something incredible in your situation.
Absolutely.
Even as a pastor.
Oh, that's so good. Well, on that note, talk to me about the fact that when this did happen within your congregation, you really left your family and left a lot of your responsibilities in order to be with the Smiths throughout this ordeal. You were up there probably more hours than was required, even. I use the term required loosely, of course, but how did you make sense of that? How did you make sense of that with your wife and small children?
Well, the one good thing is our children are a little bit older, so they're teenagers. So that makes it a little bit easier. But at the same point, you know, the thing that happened for us was Joyce walked in the room and she prayed, Holy Spirit, bring my son back after an hour, right? Kind of in that whole story. Well, he was still, after that happened, his pulse came back. I mean, incredible moment, but he was still brain dead. The doctor said about a 1% chance that he would make it. If he made it overnight, he would be a vegetable. And so I take a group of pastors in the room. Joyce said, Pastor, we need to go in and pray. And at that moment, walked in and about took my breath away. I mean, to walk in and see a kid in that kind of shape, you know, and having a son his age, I was like, man, God, you got to show up. So we started praying. Incredible miracles happened in the room that night. And I walked out to Joyce and I told her, I said, Joyce, he is going to walk out of here. I don't know when, I don't know how. Joyce agreed. So we stood firm on that. The next morning I came back. I'd been there till like 3 a.m, went home, showered, came back, walked into his room, and he was still supposedly supposed to be brain dead. Walked into his room and I said, John, it's Pastor Jason. Said that, tears rolled down his eyes. And I felt like the Lord said to me, there are times that I call pastors to leave the 99 for the one. And that is what I'm calling you to do. You are assigned to this family until I release you. And at that moment, I said, okay, God. And I said, John, do you want me to stay with you? And he shook his head and I knew it. At that moment, I knew God was calling me to stick by And, you know, I mean, we had a church of 600, 700, you know, annual business meetings coming up, board meetings. I mean, all of that. We really had some great staff and help.
Well, now, at the moment that you're saying these things to him and you see a tear roll down his eye or he shook his head, but wasn't this at the moment when doctors are saying, no, if this child recovers, he'll be brain dead?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. And I had seen life in his eyes the night before. So like 4 or 5 hours after the accident, we were praying for him. We prayed that God would restore the breath in his lungs. And as I prayed that over him, I turned around and I saw two angels in the room. I mean, full-size angels. And I'd seen them in the room of a lady who I prayed for in Washington State 4 years before that, who was on her deathbed. She was 85 in a coma, got a call from her daughter saying, Pastor, my mom is on the edge of eternity. She needs to accept Jesus. So I walked in, I got down to her ear. I said, hey, it's Pastor Jason. You're on the edge of eternity. Squeeze my hand if you want to accept Jesus. And I just prayed it would work. You know, I mean, you hear those things. And I felt this little squeeze. And as she squeezed my hand, I turned around and those same two angels were in the room. And as I thought about that, I came back to John. And I mean, he overbreathed his respirator, eyes open. We then prayed that God would restore his brain. It was literally like colors of rainbows over his head. And God was like knitting his brain back together again. At that moment, he did open his eyes. And I knew it. I'm like, this kid's good. He's good to go. And, you know, we're just going to walk through this and see what God does. So that was Monday. On Friday, we got a call from a lady who said, I was praying at home and I saw two angels in John's room. Did you guys see it too? I said, yes. And she said, those were the same two angels that were in my room when I was 16 years old dying in the hospital. And she was about 50.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, we knew the first night. I mean, that's why I could walk out of that room and say to Joyce, I am confident. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know he's walking out of here.
So you just answered my next question, because I wondered how you could hand that kind of promise to that mother during that time. But what you're saying is because you visibly saw proof.
Visibly saw proof. 100%. I mean, 100%. And Joyce, I was just confirming what she already felt in her heart. She already felt like God had done the work. And so when I was able to confirm that and just go like, look, I mean, this is what's happening. And you know what's amazing? We prayed that God would restore his lungs. 7 days down the road in that situation, they were afraid that he had infection in his lungs. I mean, he had a raging 104-degree fever. We think he has infection. There's not anybody that lives in the Midwest that has clear lungs. I mean, they all, and then all the lake water he took in went down in one of the dirtiest lakes in the area. We think he has infection and it's raging. And so we prayed. That prayer request went around the world, came back 5 hours later, and the doctor's holding up a report saying his lungs are completely sterile. They're like brand new.
That is just, it's just not natural. I mean, this is why people call it the supernatural. That just makes no sense to us.
No, and you can't. I mean, it's a complete miracle, you know. And here's what I want people that are listening to know. If God can do it for John, he can do it for you.
On that note, you have a new book called Breakthrough to Your Miracle. And I want to ask you, from a pastor's perspective, you travel, you're speaking on this, you're doing so many interviews, you're going to churches and big, huge conference rooms, I'm sure, to talk about this. But what do you say when somebody stops you and says, but I've prayed for mine, where's mine? How do you encourage them to persevere? What is it that you want people to know about this? It could not have all been just for a movie. You know that, and I know that.
100%. I think this whole thing is about teaching us how to position ourselves for a miracle. And part of that is not giving up. Part of it's not just throwing our hands up and saying, well, God, you didn't do it right away, so I'm going to just give up. I mean, sometimes we have to think. I mean, look at the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years she struggled with that. And when she heard Jesus was going to be in town, she was as desperate as the day that it started. A lot of people would have said, forget it. 12 years, I'm giving up. But you see, I mean, God just meets people. And I don't know why God's timelines are the way they are, but I heard it said well the other day. We live in a microwave society, but we serve a crockpot God.
Right.
So true. And the other question we get from a lot of people is, well, I prayed and my loved one died. Does that mean that God didn't hear my prayers? No. This is a part of life is death. And if we truly as Christians believe that heaven is the most important thing, then when God takes a loved one home, and we have to trust him in that and be okay with it. Because that's really the greatest miracle is eternity. Lazarus isn't still alive. John will die someday. You'll die. I'll die. I mean, eternity is really what it's about. That doesn't mean that you don't go through grief. It doesn't mean that you don't walk through hard times. I mean, God knows what it's like to lose a loved one. And so in that process, that doesn't change the fact. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, God must have healed them when a person dies. I go, no, you got to stop. God healed them. It was just different than what we hoped for or what we expected.
Mm.
You know, I mean, as they stood before the Lord, they got a new body. They got a new, you know, so I tell people all the time, we have to pray believing that God's going to show up and be okay with the outcome.
That's right.
And then when we do the loved one, when we do walk through those times, Jesus promises to be closer than a brother. I mean, he promises to walk us right through those things. So, you know, it's hard and life is not easy. I think sometimes we look at all of the Christian world and we think that my life isn't the perfect package with a bow on top. I must be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not promising it's going to be easy. And so really putting that into focus, I think, is important.
You know, just yesterday I went to my room and I knelt down beside my chair, which you don't have to kneel to pray, that's for sure. But I needed to do that in that moment. And I just said, here's what I know. I don't know how this situation will turn out. I don't know if you will show up at the 11th hour, but I know that you are for me and you are not against me. And if all else fails, we can trust that in the end, whether it looked like we wanted it or not, God is for us. I know you'd believe that.
You say something that's so important, and I tell people all the time, you have to go by what you know, not by what you see.
That's very true.
And you said it. You said, I know. You didn't say, I see it. I know. This is what I know about you, God. And I think sometimes our perception can get off, and the enemy loves to bring lies into our path to get our perception off. And that's why sometimes you just have to, it might just be all you know is what you know. But I think the other thing that's so important is digging into God's word and knowing what his promises are. And speaking life over your situation, you know, the scripture tells us the power of life and death is in the tongue. You know, we speak death over our situation so many times. And man, people ask me, what does that look like? I tell them, get into God's word and speak his word over your situation. Like what you just did, God is for me, not against me. You know, we're working together. I mean, you speak those truths. And man, I think you see so much power in that.
I love that. Oh, thank you so much. I want to know what your relationship is like with the family today. Y'all live in different locations. I mean, I don't know why, but we automatically assume y'all must still live in the same town, go to church together, be best friends, and eat Sunday lunch every Sunday after church. But that's not the case. So what is your relationship like with them?
So we're family. I mean, I still manage their schedule. I still help them on the projects. We still travel together. We were just in North Carolina this past weekend doing an event. I mean, we will be close for the rest of our lives. I mean, no matter what city we live in. You know, I live now in Medford, Oregon. They live in St. Louis. But man, we're as close as ever. You know, I feel like God's put us together for a lifetime.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's so wonderful. Well, listen, I don't want to take up any more of your time. You've been so gracious to even be here with us. I have a lot of listeners who are going to end up taking their families to watch this movie, and I could not recommend it anymore. I love the fact that my kids didn't have to leave the room. They never had to step out. I loved y'all's relationship in the movie. I felt like it was very real and honest. And so I just appreciate everything you've done. But I want to end with three questions that I ask all of my guests, and they're going to catch you flat-footed. But I have a feeling if anybody can answer them off the cuff, you're my kind of man. Are you ready?
Before we go in there, can I challenge your listeners to do one other thing?
I'd love
with
it.
With this movie?
Yes.
Okay. Not only take your family, take a family that comes with you. Take them and get them to the theater. It'll change their lives.
Okay. So he is not only challenging us, just take our family, take who we're comfortable with to go see it. But take our neighbor,
exactly.
Take somebody that just moved into town, take the new kid at school and his family. Let's all take another family. Let's all make that vow. We will take another family. Let this be a community thing. I love it, Pastor Jason. We will do it for sure.
That's awesome. All right, three questions.
Okay, you can't say your wife and kids. That's all I'm going to say. You cannot say your wife and kids. Who do you love?
Jesus.
That was a very good answer, but I wanted you to, like, we know that. We heard you speak for the last 15 minutes. We know you love him. Who else?
You know who I really love?
Who?
Chrissy Metz. She is one of my favorite people on this earth. I love her. She is just awesome.
You know what? I am so glad you said that because every single woman in the world kind of sort of maybe adores her. So it's really good to hear that you're not like, well, I'll tell you who I don't love. Chrissy Metz, that lady. I'm so glad to hear that.
Oh, man. She is the most sweetest, genuine, Jesus-loving person you'll ever meet. She is incredible.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I know you're super busy right now, and you probably don't have time to do this, but I want to know what you're binging on, whether that's a new food you tried or a book or a Netflix. What are you binging on right now?
Oh, man. Oh, what am I binging on? That's a good question. Starbucks.
You are, dude.
In a big way.
You just said six shots of espresso, man. You might need to talk to somebody after all this is over.
I know. Six a day. So.
I hope you own some stock.
With my congregation, I got up on Sunday and I said, I've just had six shots of algo. Six shots of what?
And you were like, awkward pause.
I said, you probably don't want to know. And then laughed.
And you wonder why people are sending you letters about the worship band.
Exactly.
Finish this sentence. I don't understand why blank. This can be everything from, I don't understand why people eat pineapple on pizza, to I don't understand why people like cats. It could be serious or silly, but I don't understand why blank.
I don't understand why God does some of the things he does sometimes, but I always trust him.
I love that. Well, Pastor Jason, that's all the time I'm going to take from you today. I don't know you personally, but I feel like if I was to sit down over some chips and queso, it would be awesome, man. So
hey, we're friends now.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. A breakthrough is when progress resumes. I loved that. It might not be when your child gets up and walks out of the hospital. It might not be when your loved one lives. It might not even be when a supernatural miracle happens. It might just be the moment that progress resumes. The breakthrough that I'm looking for in my own life right now doesn't come without questions, and it doesn't come without prayer, lots of prayer. But it comes by putting one foot in front of the other, all while knowing and believing that the God who saved John is the same God who has me. He has you too. So, friend, keep believing. Grandmother, keep hoping. Mama, keep praying. Whether you can trace his hand or even see his plan, just trust his heart, because the heart he has is for you, and it has always been for you. I don't think there's been a better time, maybe ever, than to end with these words. Miracles are all around us. We just get so used to seeing them, we call them ordinary things. Till next time.